it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos. All thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Alice Leahy joins me for the Thursday interview this week. So well known to so many of you, Director of Services at the Alice Leahy Trust, celebrating your 50th anniversary
next year.
Next year.
We're heading there.
Wow. Well, that is some achievement, isn't it? Do you stop and reflect on it?
I do. I reflect daily on how I got to where I am, why I'm still there. And I reflect on the world we're living in now and how, on the one hand, it looks as if everything's changed and nothing has changed because the human condition doesn't change.
Okay.
So I'm big into reflection, and I think that's something that's missing in our society.
That people don't often take a moment and step back.
And they don't have time. And I think that's why we're having so many problems generally in our world, because somebody is deciding you can only give 5 minutes to that person and tick a box, tick several boxes, and that solves the problem. And I was thinking...
You're not having a go at me now, are you? Because Sean Spicer talked for too long.
Sean Spicer took my time, but I'm big into forgiveness.
Oh, you are. I know that.
I do know I'll have other opportunities.
You will. You know that it was an open door. Here for you, absolutely. And there's very few people that's true of.
So I'm quite happy with that. But I was thinking of my dear friend, Professor James McCormack. He was the first head of the Department of Community Health in Trinity. And he came in one day with a piece of paper from the BMJ, the British Medical Journal. And of course, a consultant from England went out to Africa, and he had all the solutions, like many of the people we know today all over the world. And the Anglican bishop sat him down and said, "Why don't you people in the West waste time with people instead of talking about budgets and projects?" And you know, it is so true, especially in the area of health and social housing and all of that. Everyone is talking about budgets, but how do you put a price on time and building up relationships?
So when you said that the human condition hasn't changed, so in that sense, you know, nothing changes, or there's certainly kind of a similarity between what we deal with today and what you would have been dealing with way back when all of this got going.
Because you're a human being, I'm a human being, and even people in radio years ago. My first radio interview I did with, I think it was Brenda Fricker's father, when I was very, very young. And so radio interviewing is actually, it's a great skill. But you must have the time to interview people properly, and they must have the time to listen to you asking the questions. So that's about the human condition too. It's not all about the wonderful technology we have surrounding us. And haven't we lost the capacity to listen? And everybody is on a timesheet. And it's very hard on people. It's very hard on people in pressurised jobs, particularly, I would say, in the health service, you know, where you're constantly under pressure. And that's not good for any of us.
There's always somewhere else you have to be. There's always the next patient you have to see. There's always people in the waiting room or people on a waiting list.
And you get little time for yourself. But I don't want to concentrate because I'm talking about health in the broader sense.
I know, but it's interesting you bring that up, because yesterday, I know every day is a different day. Today is World Poetry Day. I might ask you about poetry in a moment. But yesterday was World Happiness Day or something like that. Anyway, the point I bring up is that we had a guest on the show. Ian Robertson is a professor in Trinity College, Dublin. And he basically said, you know what it comes down to is human connections. It's all the different things that give you a sense of fulfillment and happiness and contentment. What they all have in common are human connections and personal relationships. And that's actually what you're talking about there well. Human connection.
I like Ian Robinson. I think he's excellent. I like listening to him. But I'm not big into joining groups. I was always a bit like that. But I'm part of a speaker's club in Red Minds, and our topic for next month is poetry.
Okay.
So I've been giving it a bit of thought. And of course, in school, I liked poetry. I liked Yeats and Keats. I didn't like Shakespeare because it was a bit like the prayers and the Irish, you had to learn it.
Oh, yeah.
But I think poetry can too be a bit elitist at times. But I think it's a way of expressing your emotions. And that's why it's supposed to be very good for people with mental health problems. But there's a man we knew who was buried in our plot. And we have a plot in Glasnevin. And Tony Gill lived on the streets and he died. He was set alight one night down in Westland Row and he came into us and we got him into hospital and he's buried in our plot. And a friend of his put some of his poems together, and one of them was, "Today I spoke to no one. Nobody spoke to me. Am I dead?" And isn't that very powerful?
Yeah, only two lines.
It captured his thoughts at the time. And I was thinking, how many people during the pandemic thought like that and are still thinking like that? Isn't that very profound?
Yeah, and you know what, it strikes me, like immediately you think of just the isolation of living on the streets or the pandemic, but somebody could, you know, they could be surrounded by people. They could have people who talk to them all day long. Yeah. They could be very busy people and actually that poem might resonate with them still.
Yeah.
You know, and that again brings us back to your point that they're only talking to them about, you know, business or what are we doing next or what's happening next. Yeah. And then nobody actually stops to talk to them about what's important,
And you see, I think one of the things too, I was thinking recently, we all know things happened in the religious institutions. And I think there were people who were very damaged there, including people who struggled to work there and provide services for people who were hurting. But the one thing about the religious groups, there was a space to discuss some of the issues around the human condition. But there is no such place now, apart from maybe appearing here, and not everybody has the opportunity. You know, we used to have summer schools, we used to have work camps, we used to have lots of these kind of things. We've none of them now. Or am I missing something?
No, I guess we probably don't. And people just converse less anyway.
They do.
Now, because it's as easy text, you know. Yeah. You can send a voice message. Yeah. On WhatsApp, just as easily.
Isn't it awful? I mean, it's very handy, but I mean, I'm not on social media. I refuse to use it. But
I bet you've got burner accounts. I bet you do, Alice.
No, I don't. But do you know, I was walking in here and I said, I'll get a cup of coffee. Now, I've gone on decaf just to make sure I sleep because my mind is sometimes very active. And this little woman came up to me. I didn't know if I met him. And then she said, "Are you over there now in Bride Street?" "I am." She knew who I was. And then she proceeded to tell me, "Walk to the door." And she said, "Would you ever get onto the council for me? I'm on the priority list." And she said, "They've come out, but I'm never there when they come out. Is there anyone you know you'd get onto?" Now, if I was rushing and didn't stop with
her,
and it so happens I'm meeting someone from Dublin City Council on Monday, not a councillor, and I will pass on her, make sure I made a note of her. So we're all rushing and tearing around, aren't we?
We are. Which makes me feel awful for what I'm about to say, that we're almost out of time.
You have a lovely, relaxed... Do you meditate?
No, I don't meditate. Do you know what I do, though? And it probably counts as meditation.
Yeah.
Often when I'm in the car driving, because I'm on my own, and the road is quiet, so you're kind of on cruise control. You're not worried about traffic or stopping and starting. I would find that I might actually drive the whole way from Kilkenny to Dublin or back without turning on the radio absolute silence.
That's wonderful.
And I actually kind of talk to myself a little bit.
But you see, it shows.
Don't tell anyone I do that.
You are so relaxed there. You are. And that's lovely.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's lovely to talk to you. You're archiving as well mark the 50th anniversary.
I did a memoir 4 years ago with Catherine Cleary, and that's O'Brien Press published it. The Stars Are Our Only Warmth. And that's actually from one of the poems of Tony Gill too. That was the title of one of his poems. But one of our directors said, "Alice, will you, for God's sake, archive the stuff. So now we're working with an archivist and we're putting together all our work for over 50 years. Mm. And it's incredible. I came across a letter the other day. I wrote before we even had a premises, and I wrote it to a city councillor because she was complaining about the people who were homeless and in a hostel. I could write that letter again today. And I suppose the purpose of doing it is to encourage the younger generation. They'd be a lot younger than me, because some of them get burnt out very quickly. They think they can change the world, and they don't have the type of discussion we're having.
Yeah.
So this will hopefully help them to look back and say, well, sure, it was like that then. Everything we've discussed, we talked about the closure of the TB clinics, we spoke about AIDS, we spoke about the closure of the psychiatric hospitals, we wrote about public showers that were needed in the city in 18 years ago. All of that we have done. And the only difference now in the services, there is more technology, which there's the good side to it and there's the bad side to it, the poor side to it, shall I say. And this is to encourage people to look at, not to get burnt out. You can change the world, but you can do a little in your own way. And if you believe in what you're doing, the people you will need to help you, they'll gather around you. They'll come from the most amazing places. And you have to be open to that energy. Now, I sound kind of very poetic, but my work is tough and we're dealing with real life situations. But to deal with real life situations, you have to have compassion. You have to put yourself into the shoes of that person you're dealing with. And it's not all about the blame game, because I think all of us together in the media, in politics, the Gardaí, the nurses, the families of people, it's about all of us kind of working together and making life a bit better for our fellow human beings and for ourselves.
The Stars Are Our Only Warmth is the name of Alice's memoir that she wrote from O'Brien Press. Alice Leahy is Director of Services at the Alice Leahy Trust. 50 years they will be marking in existence next year. Alice, it's been a real, real pleasure. Thanks a million for coming in to
Thank
us.
Thank you, Ciarán. And Kilkenny next Sunday. And maybe Kilkenny and Tipperary, then in Croke Park. And I'll be on to you to get a ticket.
There's a triumph of hope over expectation. I think that's what that is, Alice. So we will talk to you again.
But Tip is even worse.
Yeah. We will talk to you again soon.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.